Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 12, and Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The first reading is from Revelation chapter 12. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they love not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin. For it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man came to save the lost. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I've been pondering this question for a few months, how to teach pastors to conduct the divine service well. Maybe first we should ask, what is it that would distinguish good conduct of the service from sloppy, or perfunctory, or awkward, or grandiose? It's more than having a certain kind of voice or speaking a way or singing. It's definitely not, at its heart, a matter of how you hold your hands or even what you would wear. So what is it? Well, our former chaplain, Whedon, had the right answer for me right away. No surprise. Attention to the unseen realities. That's what will keep us, fellow pastors, from working the crowd or drawing attention to ourselves. What will balance joy with gravity but will keep us away from both frivolity and lifelessness. Give your attention not only to the people before you, not only to the page in front of you, not only to your tongue or to your feet and what they are doing. And I think we should say never to the camera, but attend to the unseen realities. And I'm quite convinced then that the conduct of the service will rise to the occasion of the words that you preach, the gifts that you handle, and the Lord whom you serve. You will draw the eyes and the ears, most of all, the faith of everyone in the room to follow your gaze to the proper focal point, to Christ, whom we have not seen, and yet whom we love. Now, it would be entirely too far to say that clumsy conduct of the service is one of these temptations to sin or comes with the penalty of hell and a millstone, like in today's text. Although, hey, you who endure it from the pews might like to give some of us that millstone treatment. But this reverence, this constant attention to the unseen, it is needed. To lack it is to preach something different. It is to raise the question, is anything else or anyone else but me and him and you here? Do we believe only in the visible? Or is all of this religion just what we make and what we are doing? If so, a hand would be a terrible thing to lose. If we're the only hands and feet that Jesus has, as the popular phrase goes, then it's all the worse, I suppose. But no, dear Christians, we believe not only in things visible, but also invisible. We believe that sin and hell and death, all of those things that were vividly painted for us in the hymn, they have to give way now that the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of His Christ are come, whether we see it at all times or not. We have citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. We live for more than this world. We are, as Jesus subtly says in today's gospel, preparing to enter life, spoken by Him as if we were not actually living yet, or at least as if there was something more to be revealed. And indeed there is, little children. So beloved are you by Christ that apparently He has designated angels for each of you, His Christians. For I tell you that their angels always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. On this day, we consider the foremost class of God's invisible creation, the holy angels. Today we hear the curtain pulled back in Revelation to see that battle that surpasses flesh and blood. We see Michael, whose name curiously means one like God, leading the charge to cast out the ancient serpent, Satan, with his demons. And he brings the church of all things along with him, mere little children into the ranks as brothers who share in the victory, more than conquerors, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. The angels who serve God fearsomely, though out of our sight, have as part of their service honor guard duty for the little children of God. That seems like overkill to assign so great an escort to so insignificant a charge. But not if you consider the price paid for them in the blood of God's Son who came to seek and to save the lost, a price weightier than even a great millstone. The faces of the angels always behold the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. They attend at all times to the realities that are unseen by us. Such is the calling of all ministers as well, all messengers who would serve Christ's little children. By the word of God, and also certainly by many examples, both in pulpit and in pew, the whole church's gaze is drawn together toward the Holy Trinity and His unending life, away from the temptations, away from our hands and feet, away from pride. And this truly is, in fact, how every moment of our whole lives may be conducted well. Not only a divine service on St. Michael's or any other day. It is only that here, gathered to the blood of the Lamb and to His testimony, it is occasionally easier for us to hear that faint roar of innumerable angels in festal gathering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.